أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. إنما المؤمنون الذين آمنوا بالله ورسوله وإذا كانوا معه على أمر جامع وإذا كانوا معه على أمر جامع لم يذهبوا حتى يستأذنوه. إن الذين يستأذنونك أولئك الذين يؤمنون بالله ورسوله فإذا استأذنوك لبعض شأنهم فأذن لمن شئت منهم واستغفر لهم الله إن الله غفور رحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. فالحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ثم أما بعد. In order to introduce this next lesson, I'm going to share with you what seems at first a very direct contradiction. I'm going to read a part of the translation of an ayah from Surah An-Nur, Surah number 24. This is ayah number 62, for those of you that are referencing it, 24, 62. And then I'm going to be reading something from Surah At-Tawbah, ayah number 44, ayah number 44 and 45. And they'll seem like they're saying the exact opposite thing. So let's start. The Arabic says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَأْذِنُونَكَ أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Those who are asking your permission, it's talking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Those who are asking your permission are in fact the ones who believe in Allah and His Messenger. I'd like you to at least try to keep the English in mind, okay? Those who ask the Prophet's permission are the ones who in fact believe in him and his believe in Allah and his messenger. Okay. Surah At-Tawbah. La yasta'dhinuka alladhina yu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir. Those who believe in Allah and the last day don't ask your permission. Those who believe in Allah and the last day don't ask your permission. And it goes further and it says innama yasta'dhinuk alladhina la yu'minuna billahi wal yawmil akhir. And those who are asking your permission don't believe in Allah and the last day. Surah An-Nur says, those who ask your permission, those are the ones who have iman. Surah At-Tawbah says, those who ask your permission are the ones who have no iman. Have no iman. And then there's another apparent contradiction. Surah An-Nur says, فَإِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوكَ لِبَعْضِ شَأْنِهِمْ فَأْذَلْ لِمَنْ شِئْتَ مِنْهُمْ. If they ask you for whatever issue they have, give them permission. Surah An-Nur says, first of all, if they ask permission, it's a sign of iman. And if they are asking for some important matter, give them permission. Surah At-Tawbah says, عَفَى اللَّهُ عَنْكَ لِمَا أَذِنْتَ لَهُمْ. Surah At-Tawbah says, may Allah forgive you, why did you give them permission? Why did you give them permission? Surah An-Nur says, give them permission. Surah At-Tawbah says, why'd you do it? Surah An-Nur says, if they ask permission, that's iman. Surah At-Tawbah says, if they ask permission, that must mean they have no iman. Seems like opposite views or no? So this is, and I meant specifically, both passages have to do with permission. Both of them have to do with permission. And I pull these passages out because they represent some of the most beautiful examples of Quranic wisdom. Beautiful example of Quranic wisdom. Now, this first one, Surah An-Nur, is so explicit, it's so awesome. إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. True believers are only and only the kinds of people. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا بِاللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ. Those who truly have faith in Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَإِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ. So beautiful. Whenever they are with Him on some collective mission. أَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ. The entire series today could be called الْهُدَى لِأَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ. Guidance for collective work. The Quran actually uses the word collective work, and the phrase is أَمْرٌ جَامِعٍ. إِذَا كَانُوا مَعَهُ عَلَىٰ أَمْرٍ جَامِعٍ. Whenever they're with him on some collective mission, some task, some project. Now, it's talking about Sahaba, the companions of the Prophet رضي الله عنهم أجمعين وصلى الله عليه وسلم. They go with him on some mission. He assigns them to go speak to some tribe. He assigns them to go scout some area. He assigns them to go, you know, go learn, you know, something from somebody or get some news or whatever. He sends 5, 6 of them, 10 of them, whatever it may be. He gave them a task. That's an amr jami'. It could be any task. It doesn't have to be military in nature. It could be any task. Which means this passage particularly has great benefit for us because it could be any collective task, right? He says, لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُوا. They would not abandon that task until they asked the permission of the Prophet first, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Let's put that in contemporary times. So you have a meeting, and in a meeting, what we love doing, of course, because we're Muslims, we love making committees, right? Oh, I'm sorry, I mispronounced that, committees, right? So we love making committees, and this is the research committee, this is the da'wah committee, this is the we're going to do something, I don't know what it is, committee, this is I want to be in a committee, right? We have committees. And then you have a committee, and that committee's task is by the end of this week, you three will get this XYZ done. By the end of this week, three people will get this done. Each one of those three people thinks, X thinks Y will do it. Y thinks Z will do it. Z thinks Y or X will do it, I don't have to do it. Everybody shows up empty-handed the next week. Because it's three of you, what happens in psychology, it's called diffusion of responsibility. Nobody takes responsibility. Somebody will do it. And then when you come back to meeting the next week, you're like, you didn't do it? But you were nodding your head. I was like, yeah, you were nodding it more than I was. Nobody gets it done. But the guidance of Quran is, whenever they are on a collective task, there is no diffusion of responsibility. They don't abandon that task unless they explicitly tell leadership, listen, I can't do it, I'm sorry. I got a situation at home. My mother-in-law's here, or something. They've got a situation. So they let you know explicitly, look, I can't do it. They don't assume, oh, somebody else will take care of it. They don't assume it. This is very powerful guidance, folks. This is the kind of thing that destroys voluntary work. Because the leadership says the volunteers don't do anything. And then the people say the leadership is not getting anything done, because nothing's getting done, because everybody keeps thinking somebody else will do it, and the whole thing is stagnant. Right? This keeps the machinery from breaking. If you're not going to be able to do it, come out and say, listen, actually I have a meeting, I have to fly, I have an emergency, I have a doctor's appointment, I have this, I have that, I have the other, I can't do it. So you're going to have to take care of it. Be open about what you can and cannot do. And we have to change the culture of, you know, corrupting the meaning of inshallah. We have to stop that. That's a sacred phrase. It's a beautiful thing to say, inshallah. But we've turned it into something ugly. Inshallah means yes. Inshallah means never. Inshallah means maybe if I'm in the mood. It could mean anything. Hey, you coming? Inshallah. Now, that could mean yes. It could be no. It could mean I don't like you. It could be any of those meanings. Be clear in what you can and cannot do. Be clear in your commitments. Especially in committee tasks, team tasks. Don't put it off on somebody else. لَمْ يَذْهَبُوا حَتَّى يَسْتَأْذِنُهُ. And by the way, at work, at your job, if you have a team, sometimes you have teams or no, and your team was given a task, immediately, as soon as the manager says, you three have this job, what do you three do? You talk to each other and say, you do this part, you do A, I do B, I do C, right? Immediately. And if any one of them says, I thought you were going to do everything, that's why I was on vacation this week. They will never do that if they like their job. Because they know if they do that, what's going to happen? You're going to get fired. You're going to lose your job. But you know what? In Islamic work, it's voluntary. What are you going to fire me? I never got a paycheck anyway. Go ahead. What are you going to do? Fine, I won't come anymore. It was boring anyway. So you start thinking, because it's voluntary, you can make it trivial. You can make light of it. You don't have to take it seriously. You don't have to meet the deadline like you have to do at work. When you haven't met a deadline at work, what happens? You stay late. You sweat it out. You order like ugly, you know, nasty tasting food, and you stay in the office, and you finish the work, and you come home exhausted because you have to finish the task. Because you need the job. There's a serious attitude. If you cannot do it, then just say no. And if you can, commit to it. If you can, commit to it. Now on the flip side, let me tell you something, because we have to balance all these equations. On the flip side, you have an amir. You have somebody who's in charge of a project, team leader. And he gives you a task, and you say you can't do it. And he says,
وَجَاهِدُوا فِي اللَّهِ حَقَّ جِهَادِهِ وَاجْتَبَاكُمْ.
Struggle like it deserves to be struggled for. Stop making excuses. Don't make excuses. And you say, but brother, my son is sick. My wife is sick. I gotta take care of them first.
Oh, إِنَّمَا أَمْوَالُكُمْ وَأَوْلَادُكُمْ فِتْنَةٌ وَاللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ.
He's going to quote ayat day and night. Your money and your children are a fitna for you. Allah has the ultimate reward. Let her be sick. Allah will take care of her. You think you will take care of her? Have some iman. Go do my work. Leadership, which we'll talk about at the end, cannot be emotionally manipulative. It cannot do that. You can't give your volunteers a religious guilt trip. The Prophet never did it, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Never did it. He never made people feel bad when they came in to give an excuse. Never did that. So if you're in a situation where the leadership is making you feel bad when you come and say, I can't do something, I'm sorry. First of all, you coming and saying, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Even that was a choice. You didn't have to come. You could have just skipped out on the whole thing, and when they asked you about it, you could have said, I forgot. But the fact that you made it an effort to come and say, look, I know this is important, I'm sorry, I can't do it, please assign it to somebody else. That is a show of how much you believe in the project. That is a show that you take it seriously. And that should not be turned into a guilt trip by leadership. That's bad leadership. That's emotionally manipulative leadership. And that's the kind of leadership that everybody runs away from. They're only left by themselves. And then they say, I don't have any volunteers. Nobody works with me. Obviously, when you're going to act like that, who wants to work with you? I mean, the fact that you're, you know, at the masjid all the time is probably because your wife doesn't want to hang out with you either. Because you have that kind of personality. Go home a little. You know? So this is a very important area of concern. Taking permission seriously, seeking permission when you're the volunteer yourself, that will be a sign of permission, sign of your commitment. And the leadership is given advice at the same time, even though the last session of the day is qualities of leadership, Quranic qualities of leadership. But one quality right now I'll mention, and that is, فَإِذَا اسْتَأْذَنُوكَ لِبَعْضِ شَأْنِهِمْ. If they come to ask your permission for some of their important matters, so the excuse should also not be just anything, hey, by the way, I just bought Assassin's Creed 3 and I haven't started it, that's why I can't do it. By the way, I just, Bond just came out and I haven't seen it, that's why I can't make it to the program. Sorry. No, if they come to you with an excuse that is legitimate, something serious, that's the word sha'an. It's not just any amr, it's not just any fi'l, it's a sha'an. Sha'an is a serious matter that pertains to the person individually, a private concern. If that's the case, فَأَذَنْ لِمَنْ شَيْتَ مِنْهُمْ. Give permission to whoever you want from among them. It's the leader's discretion to give permission and not give permission. At the end of the day, the leader is told you have the choice. You can give permission and not give permission. We have to talk about that too. Why does the leader have a choice? How come Allah didn't just say, give everybody permission? Why do you say only who you want, who you see fit? Because a good leader understands the difference between who should get permission and who shouldn't. So before I go to the next passage, which seems like it's a contradiction, let me explain how that works. You see, in a store, a guy has like 5 employees. And he's got an employee that's really hardworking. Basically, that guy is running the store. That guy, one guy, we're single-handedly running the store. And he's got another employee who's like a nephew or something. He got connections, so he got the job. Doesn't do any work. He's on vacation even when he's at work. So now there is, one of the good employee comes and asks for a day off. And the lousy employee comes and asks for a day off. Who am I going to give a day off to? What makes sense? I'm going to give a day off to the lousy employee. You know why? Because the lousy employee, whether he was here, سَوَاءٌ عَلَيَّ أَمْ كَانَ هُنَا أَمْ لَمْ تَكُنْ. It's the same for me. If he was here, he wasn't here. Work wasn't going to get done anyway. Chutti maro. Go. And the guy who works hard, I'm not going to give him a day off. But you know what? They both walk away. The guy who doesn't work at all, he walks away. He goes, I don't do any work and I get a day off. And the guy who works hard is thinking, man, I work so hard. I deserve a day off. And he doesn't give me a day off. And he gives this guy a day off. That's not fair. Actually, what the guy doesn't realize is he didn't give you a day off because you're all the more valuable to him. It's a proof of how valuable you are. So sometimes somebody comes with a legitimate excuse to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and says, I can't do it. And the Prophet says, no, I can't give you permission, I need you. That's a discretion upon the Prophet wasallam. But if he can afford to let him go, he will. If he can afford to let him go, he will. So the leader has to be merciful, but also understand the needs of the work. And so you press upon your followers, but don't press so much that they break. That's the balance between the two. Now let's go to the other passage. This was Surah An-Nur. The other was, who remembers? What was the other one from? Tawbah. Surah At-Tawbah from beginning to end is an emergency situation. It's the state of emergency of the Ummah. Makkah has just been conquered and we kind of poked at the Roman hornet's nest. We just poked at him. And now there's a big conflict about Tabruk between us and the Romans. And so the Messenger والسلام, starts preparing an open draft. This was the first time in Islamic history, in the history of the Prophet's life والسلام, that it was mandatory on anyone capable of fighting to come join the army. Before that it was voluntary, if you didn't know. Badr, Uhud were voluntary. Ahzab was voluntary. But the Tabuk was a draft. Everybody has to show up. And if you don't show up, you better present an excuse. You better explain yourself. So we're heading to Tabuk. We're going to meet the Roman army, 100,000 strong. Serious matter. The munafiqun, the hypocrites, weren't up for it. So they come to the Prophet. One of them comes to the Prophet ﷺ and says, وَمِنْهُمْ يَقُولُ اِذَلِّي وَلَا تَفْتِنِّي. He says to the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, give me permission. You see, I'm a player. And we're going to go pass through some towns when we get near Tabuk that have really, really pretty women. And I can't help myself, so I'm going to put myself in fitna, and therefore please don't let me go into battle against the Romans. Of all the lame excuses you could have come up with, and that to the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Messenger hears this and he says, okay, you can stay. He just says, okay, you can stay. And to me, that is a genius of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That kind of a joker would have been a liability on the battlefield, not an asset. لَوْ خَرَجُوا فِيكُمْ مَا زَادُوكُمْ إِلَّا خَبَالًا. Even Allah admits. He says, if they came out with you, they would have caused nothing more than disruption. They would have been a problem, not a solution. Because you know, in an army, in the battlefield, you need the tightest discipline. If one soldier leaves his position, there can be chaos. Isn't that true? So if you have an unreliable soldier, why don't you just stay home and cook? Let the real soldiers go. So if he's coming and asking for an excuse, it's better you let him stay. But the Prophet ﷺ is being taught in a state of emergency, when people come and ask you permission, don't give them permission, and you will find that even though you didn't give them permission, they'll still stay behind. And they will prove their disobedience to you, and they'll prove that they're hypocrites this time. So I don't want you to give them permission. So Allah says, in a state of emergency, why did you give them permission? حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَتَعْلَمَ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Until you can confirm who's speaking the truth and you can get to know the liars. So in a state of emergency, permissions are dropped. Life and death situation. That's a life and death situation for the entire Muslim ummah. Then permissions are dropped. Then there's no, please excuse me, I have some problem. No, done. That will not be given. And actually the only people excused were the ones Allah Himself excused in Surah At-Tawbah. Otherwise nobody was excused. So what we learn in Surah An-Nur is the standard protocol of discipline. If you have an issue, ask permission. Leadership should go out of their way to try to give the permission. In most cases, they should try to give the permission. That should be the rule. Let it go. And that's a show of your courtesy to the volunteer. Don't make them feel bad about it. Don't make them feel like they're less of a volunteer. Respect them and honor their request. The fact that they came and asked you permission is a sign that they respect you anyway. By the way, under normal circumstances, did the munafiqun even ever ask permission? No. They didn't ask for permission. The only reason they came to ask for permission was because it was mandatory this time. So voluntarily, they never came to ask for permission. The people who come to ask for permission voluntarily, that's a sign of iman. That's the difference between Surah An-Nur and Surah At-Tawbah. That's the fundamental difference between the two. And in the state of emergency, people who come and start asking, making lame excuses, obviously that's proof they have no iman. فَرْتَابَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَهُمْ فِي رَيْبِهِمْ يَتَرَدَّدُونَ. then their hearts are riddled with doubt, and they're going to go back and forth in their doubts. And by the way, Allah insulted them really nicely too in the Quran. Allah says, had they وَلَوْ أَرَادُوا الْخُرُوجِ لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةً. Allah called them out. This is not part of our course, but I want to share with you how Allah calls people out. I mean, He owned these guys with these ayat. It was pretty amazing. It was very entertaining to imagine this situation. So the guy comes, the guy is a sweet talker, right? Oh, messenger, I was so ready to come, and I was completely coming with you, but then all of a sudden my mother-in-law came over and I have to, you know. I like that example. Okay. Guy makes an excuse, but you know, he says, I was coming, I was ready to go, you know me. But just last minute this thing happened, you know, it just happened over. I don't know how that happened. It's crazy, right? Allah says, لَوْ أَرَادُ الْخُرُوجِ, if they really intended to come out with you, لَأَعَدُّوا لَهُ عُدَّةً, they would have packed their bags. Go check their home. How many bags have they packed? There's nothing packed. Allah called them out, because Allah knew what's inside the house. Oh no, I was all ready to go. Let's see how ready you were. Let's take a look. وَلَكِنْ however, كَرِيهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ, Allah was disgusted at the thought of appointing these people with you in battle. Allah didn't want them to come. They shouldn't have the honor of accompanying you. That's why they stay behind. وَلَكِنْ كَرِيهَ اللَّهُمْ بِعَاثَهُمْ فَثَبَّطَهُمْ, then He made them lag behind. وَقِيلَ اقْعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ, this is the insult. In battle, in Arabic language, قَاعِد or قَاعِدُون, salah, okay. In battle, قَاعِدُون is used for men, women and children that don't go to battle. So Allah says, قِيلَ اقْعُدُوا مَعَ الْقَاعِدِينَ, sit back with the women and children who sit back. That's what He calls them. He insults them with that language. So that was our brief session on permission.